and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wrestling Is Cool podcast with your host, Santi and Sancho. And remember, wrestling is cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. I'm Santi, that's Sancho. We're not going to do any rigmarole because we are doing a speed episode, like for a speed championship. Sancho has somewhere to be. He's Mr. Worldwide, so it's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but there's so much to hit on. So real quick, check out patreon.com/SantiZap to get this episode 3 days early. Sancho, what a week. What a week in professional wrestling. Are we off the back of the biggest Raw of the 2020s? Question mark? Just, I'll lay it out for you, like in terms of what happened there, because I think this will open it up for a lot of discussions. I would say that there's been bigger Raws in terms of like a building a big narrative, right? The final boss stuff, right? And the return of Cody Rhodes, things like that. But I look at like from head to toe, beginning to end, this episode of Raw had everything. It had Markham, all right? The in-ring return of Rey. The final match of John Cena, the return of Gunther, the return of Gunther's old theme, the return of AJ Lee, the return of Dolph Ziggler, the return of Brock Lesnar, the return of Roman Reigns for the 85,000th time. When you lay it out like that, and Maxine winning the Intercontinental Championship, I think in terms of bang, 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 bang type of episode, this might be one of the most bangful episodes of Monday Night Raw of all time. The most bangful.
Oh, wow.
Hey, show people that bangful little ponytail. Oh, you want to talk about bangful?
I feel like Paul Heyman. I feel like Paul Heyman right now. You know what I mean? That's me. Yes, very, very studded. But I don't think it's the best. I think There's been higher quality, you know what I mean? Like better prime ribs. But I think you said this on your Raw show with Denise Salcedo. It was a buffet. It was a buffet of
a succulent Chinese meal.
A succulent Chinese meal. Dude,
I said that like five different times on the show with Denise to see if she caught on. She had no comment on the succulent Chinese meal. But it was.
This man is grabbing me.
So the way I described it, I said, okay, of course you're going to find a better Michelin five-star meal somewhere, multiple courses. But what this was a succulent Chinese buffet where you could just, spring rolls, lo mein, chow mein, General Tao chicken. Let me just fill this entire plate up with everything where nothing in particular was this like, otherworldly, interdimensionally good story plot, right? But it was just a bunch of different things that made this buffet, which is why I called it a bang, 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 bang episode, where it's just a bunch of different things hitting you all in the face at once.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. It was one of those, huh?
It's one of those, man. Those are my favorite type of succulent Chinese meals, you know?
What's wrong with you, dude? But hey, I gotta say, though, this just proves to you what happens when you waste time in the past because everything is just jam-packed in one episode. But they saved it for the Garden. I think they saved a lot for the Garden. When you have the Madison Square Garden around the corner, you save for the big stuff. Like, if you're a Ziggler, if you're a Maxine, you want those moments in the Garden because that's where legends are made. You know what's that one song? This is legends are made.
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes. Yeah, identical.
Don't forget about Camp Scataboo there too, baby. Dude,
that's got to be the worst idea, to pick a fight against the guy that actively seeks out CTE on every single play.
I sat there, I was like, wait, isn't your ankle broken? Yes. What are you doing?
This guy's like, picking up fights after like 2 weeks after shattering his friggin' ankle.
Like, his angle was like in a perpendicular, dude. It was not parallel. No. It was perpendicular. And this dude shoving JD McDonagh like he was a child. Like, it was insane. And you know what? I was like, why is this airing on commercial? This is fire. I know they did the replay later, but I was like, damn, this is really cool. Andrew Saltz is Andrew Saltz. But Cam Scataboo, that dude's a future WWE superstar if he wants to be my friend. Yes, he is.
Sure, sure. I mean, the way he plays, that NFL career ain't going to be very long, brother, because that man is running headfirst into every brick wall that you can find. So maybe WWE is the play to go for Cam Scataboo, because the man's going to have a 20-year NFL career after two seasons the way that he plays. But he's so entertaining as an NFL player. But Sancho, let me bring a little bit of organization to this, because we are all over the place because it was an all-over-the-place week.
Wait. Who am I?
Oh, ooh, Emma.
Yeah.
She tried so hard to get that over. She tried so hard.
Her little half gloves with the glasses.
That was cool. Sick. That was cool. That was the best version of Emma. Let's quickly talk about the two big returns of people that don't work here. We had Matt Cardona and we had Dolph Ziggler. Sorry, we had Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler in TNA, Matt Cardona and Nick Namath. But I think they made the very clear distinction that the guys that we got on these nights were the ghosts of the WWE superstars of the past. These were not the current TNA guys, right? How I was interpreting it, by the fact that they came out in their old regalia, their old entrance themes, their old names and whatnot. I want to give you the mic first. So what are your thoughts on the two returns? What are your thoughts on them two losing? Let me hear it.
I do wish the WWE took a risk. I mean, obviously, I'm happy that LA Knight beat Matt Cardona or Zack Ryder. I knew when he came out as Zack Ryder, I was like, oh my God, we got a shot, boys. Because you always fear the mystery man. We hyped up the mystery man being so revered, so undefeated almost. But the fact that Zack Ryder faced LA Knight, I was like, this is a moment. We have a chance here because Matt Cardona is a lot more powerful. Like he's a little bit like his stats are bumped up five times. And you would think that a Matt Cardona would give an LA Knight a harder fight. Now, on the other side, Dolph Ziggler is Dolph Ziggler. And Dolph Ziggler did exactly what Ziggler does. And that makes his opponent look like a million bucks.
Dude, that spike? It felt like a shotgun to the face is what I described it in my prediction. I'm with you. I'm glad that LA Knight won. And hot take, I'm actually glad that Solo won as well. I think it is a hot take, and I understand it's a hot take. I think it'd be really easy fan service to have those guys win. That'd be great, right? However, none of these guys are going to be here in the long term, presumably because they aren't employees of the WWE. So as cool and in the moment as it would have been to have Zack Ryder win, to have a Dolph Ziggler win, at the end of the day, the only one out of the people having those matches that would have to actually eat and suffer the losses would have been the guys that are there every week, the LA Knight and the Solo Sikoa. Two guys that WWE probably has more interest in pushing forward in the future over Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler, who are not going to be there on a weekly basis because they're not employees of the WWE. I guess all I'm saying is I understand the decision to have Solo Sikoa and LA Knight win. I get it. I understand it. I do believe the tournament would have been a little bit more saucy and exciting to have those guys go a little bit deeper into the tournament.
Whoa. Not guys. Maybe one dude. Dolph Ziggler. Okay.
All right.
Listen here, dude. I would have been sad panda vibes, but are you picking up the smell that maybe LA Knight gets to the finals?
No.
Right? Isn't it feeling?
Brother,
what do you mean?
Brother, I hope you're ready for Gunther versus Jey Uso part 35, because that's where it's going. No. You know that's where it's going. I can already you think you're smelling this delicious home cooking? I'm smelling a rotting corpse. That's what I'm smelling. I'm smelling the rotting corpse of Jey Uso versus Gunther again. And Jey Uso's probably gonna sleep Gunther again. Here's the reason why I think it's gonna be Jey versus Gunther is because I look at like the timeline of where this tournament is going to end. I don't think it ends at Survivor Series War Games because round two starts next week, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're still in round one. We still have Carmelo Hayes and Bronson Reed and Finn Balor and Penta. We're still on round one, a week before Survivor Series War Games. We still have round two, round three, and then the final. I think this ends up being potentially like the go home episode of John Cena's the John Cena Saturday night's main event. So because of that, because a lot of people were saying, oh, it can't be Jey Uso. He's going to be working Survivor Series War Games, and that's where the final is going to be. I don't know, bro. I think he's going to work Survivor Series War Games and the final of this tournament. And I want to clarify before Sancho tries to gaslight you all into thinking that I want this. I do not want this. I want a succulent Chinese meal, Sancho. This is a succulent piece of shit. This is what this is. I do not want that.
So you take Gunther versus LA Knight then? Is that what you're saying?
But yes. I think anybody with a functioning frontal lobe would take Gunther versus LA Knight over Gunther. I slept Gunther versus Jey Uso again.
You don't want to revisit the great promos? Like, I want to wash myself, Jay. I want to wash myself in your brother's blood, Jay. I called your mother in the hospital, Jay. I told her, prepare for you, Jay. And then Jay's like, yeah, whatever. Yeet.
You killed my brother. Yeet. Yeet. He's on life support. Yeet.
Yeet.
Okay, so we had those two big returns. And then the other bit, shock of the Time Is Now tournament is Javon Evans. Unfortunately, the only NXT guy in the tournament. I was kind of bummed out about that, especially when I look, I really mean no disrespect. I really, really don't. But Nakamura and Finn Balor felt like wasted spots in this tournament, especially Finn Balor, because we're getting Penta versus Finn Balor. This tournament has been full of like first time matchups. I swear to God, I've seen Penta versus Finn Balor 85,000 times this year on Monday Night Raw with Penta's feud with the Judgment Day. I've seen it too many times at this point. It's a good matchup, don't get me wrong, but this tournament has been full of so many new matches, even if they aren't all amazing, but it was still pretty cool to fantasy book and match the idea of like, oh, what does Damian Priest versus Rusev look like? We haven't seen that before. Meanwhile, this we've seen a lot of times. And listen, Finn Balor fans, no one has been more disappointed than you. But even you must know Finn Balor is not winning this. Finn Balor is a red shirt, as it is called in the movie business. He's just there to take an L. He's there to die, basically, to make the monster of the week look even stronger. He's just there to make Penta look like a bigger threat going into the next round, if we're being serious here. Those matches like Sheamus versus Nakamura, Penta versus Finn Balor, I think would have been better served with some NXT names in there. And I'm not even saying the biggest of the biggest NXT names like Oba and Trick Williams and Ricky Saints, but I'm saying, hey, why not like an Ethan Page somewhere in there? Or who I actually do consider one of the big names. I kind of feel like I should take that back when I said the big names, but also maybe a more unknown, you know, Mr. Vaquer himself in Miles Bourne. These new names, these different faces that can take L's, that can take a loss and not be heard in the NXT product, in the NXT brand, but at the very least showcase somebody new, somebody in the future, as opposed to just another classic Nakamura and Finn Balor loss. I feel like I am being cynical here, but I do believe that there were ways to make this tournament feel a little bit more special and a little bit more unique, as opposed to just having guys that are clearly there to take a loss. That's my only gripe with this tournament. And the only other gripe that I have is that, you know, bringing back Gunther with his fighting robe with Symphony Number 9, dog, you might as well just create the billboard now that it's Cena versus Gunther.
Yeah, I think if you were going to roll out the red carpet for Gunther, I agree with you that the tournament could have had much more interesting track, like an interesting route, a more scenic route versus a more direct route. I think the opportunity was there to mix and match matchups like you mentioned. But the more I look at the tournament, I was like, man, it would have just been cool if they just did it simple, like old Cena rivals versus the new people that want to have a taste of Cena.
You know?
Just make it that bare bones. So every matchup is going to be old Cena rival, new blood. And then you would have been able to build it up there and see where it goes. And that's what have been interesting, because you kind of had that with Rusev and Damian Priest. Like, we never seen Damian versus John. So maybe that could happen. And they could have kept that going forward throughout the entire tournament. I mean, they did it with Cena. I mean, with Miz and Jay. Granted, we didn't want to see Jay advance, and at least Miz looks strong. And I mean, I'm hoping that whoever participated in this tournament at least gets a little bit of that rub going forward. You know, we need some of that momentum going forward, because then being in this tournament should matter. And if they don't get momentum, even though they lost, then what's the point of this tournament? You know, it can't be John Cena being the only prize. It should be, oh man, you got so close of facing John Cena at his last match that we're still going to give you some momentum. And am I preemptively talking about LA Knight? Mehaps, me lord. All right, mehaps. This can't be the end for LA Knight. I dodged a bullet. Do you understand? On Friday, I dodged a bullet. The Glaze Factory saw the moving trucks in the parking lot. They were coming. They put the notice on the door, the pink slip, the eviction notice. They were ready to boot us out. The Spirit Halloween was ready to move in. Did you know there's going to be a Spirit Christmas too? Unbelievable. They was already putting up the Christmas trees inside the Glaze Factory, sir. And as soon as Zack Ryder came out, ooh, woo, woo, ooh, woo, woo.
That's not that's
different.
That's very different.
It's not woo, 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 it's ooh, woo, woo. As soon as he came out, I was like, oh, thank God, we have a moment. But then he hit the broski boot. I was like, oh, my God. And then he hit
the Rough Rider.
And then he went for the unprettier. I was like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden that BFT came out of nowhere and saved us, okay? You understand? We cannot have the foundation of the Glaze go down like that in the first round, dude. That is not good. That is not good for business. And guess who wasn't on Monday Night Raw?
Again. I'm going to go ahead and assume LA Knight.
Guess who's sitting on the sidelines once again for Survivor Series? Guess.
LA Knight.
And guess who's there? Who do they put there besides you got Jay, you got Punk, you got Cody, you got Cody, you have Roman. Who's the fifth guy?
You got Jimmy.
And where's Jimmy going soon? He has a kid on the way. Jimmy, just go home. Be a dad. All right. Get ready to be a dad. It's the hardest adventure ever. Okay. As someone with two kids, go home.
It was so funny on SmackDown. This was basically this, Sancho. This is my reenactment of Jimmy Uso joining the War Games team.
War Games. Go ahead. Go ahead. He is stepping on frame, folks who are audio listeners. Here he comes in frame.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Uso. It's War Games. I'm out here war gaming. I'm the fifth member. Hey.
That was basically the whole narrative of Jimmy getting added into War Games. If he just appeared randomly, he's like, hey, who's, I'm on the team. Hey, fuck you, LA Knight.
You know what's crazy? His sister, Maxine Dupree, got a big time championship before he did. Come on. Don't tell me that United States matters, because I'm telling you, when LA Knight had it, did not matter as much. But Maxine is now the new IC title. He should just go back to Max Dupree. That's it. Just get the rub off Maxine Dupree's run and become Max Dupree. Be her manager. Let's just restart the whole thing, brother.
We need Mansoir and Massé to pick up the phone. Let's bring back the male models at this point.
Wait, what's their pose again? Their pose again?
Like they've got a couple of poses.
They turn around and they go.
Oh yeah. That's for the cameras, for the flash, you know? Jazz hands.
Yeah,
man. I'm sorry for LA Knight fans. It is kind of poetic, and like there's gotta be a somebody with a sick sense of humor to put Zack Ryder, you know, the beloved guy that got over with the crowd organically that everybody wanted to see push, but got put aside for everybody else that the machine wanted to push instead. Oh, that sounds exactly like LA Knight's position. It almost felt like they were rubbing it in LA Knight's face, like, guess what, brother? This is you. Look in the mirror. You are Zack Ryder. Oh, radio. It felt like they were just slapping LA Knight in the face with his future, man. It felt like the ghost of future past. even though I'm pretty sure Zack Ryder is younger than LA Knight.
he is, actually. I can't keep. How long can I keep doing this? Is a question.
How long can you keep waving the LA Knight flag in this sinking ship? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. How long can I keep doing it?
I don't know how you keep doing it. That's what continues to impress me.
You don't have anybody that was like this? You don't have anyone in your lexicon? Because it's ironic that Matt Cardona and Ziggler are revered, and they were picked by John Cena. Shouts to good old Snow Tiger. He came into my chat, told me about the hello, Matt Cardona. Hello, Nick Namath. And they're actually in the tournament, and I tweeted that out. But I'm just, if they're revered and respected by the John Cenas of the world, why not LA Knight? So I listen to you. Is there anyone that you loved so dearly? And don't tell me Mr. Kennedy. Don't tell me that guy, all right? Give me somebody else.
Look, I was, I mean, Dolph Ziggler is probably the guy that I point the finger to of like, oh my God, he's so good. Look at how an incredible of a worker he is. How are we not pushing this guy? But there were numerous guys like that, right? Like I look at like, for example, Keith Lee, that to me just seemed like such a fumble. The original run of Aleister Black in WWE seemed to me like, I just don't understand what they're doing with this guy, why they're not treating him the way that he ought to be treated. This is going to be a silly one because because it probably ended up being the correct decision, but there was a guy named Alex Riley that I was so high on initially, who was the Miz's lackey during the 2011. I'm like, that guy's going to be big, but Damian Sandow is another great example. This is what I try to explain to LA Knight fans, like, bro, like, welcome to the club. Like, this just happens. This is just how it is. LA Knight just happens to be the flavor of the week in these last couple of years. This has happened in WWE.
He's the everlasting gobstopper. He ain't going away.
Dog, Dolph Ziggler was the everlasting gobstopper for 12 years, and they didn't do anything with him. That's how long he was in the company. He wasn't part of the Gobstopper when he was in the Spirit Squad. All right, let's not go.
He got a shout out for it. He did. Wade Barrett. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can I also point that out? I felt like commentary didn't do these guys any favors. Focusing on the Spirit Squad era of Dolph Ziggler, as opposed to like, hey, this guy went over to TNA and became a TNA world champion.
That means he's not that.
But like, if you, they, and my next point was going to be regarding Matt Cardona, like Zack Ryder roasting him for like playing with toys and stuff. I get it. Matt Cardona is the deathmatch king. Matt Cardona is the indie taker.
They call him the indie god.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I definitely missed that. Okay, yeah. So maybe I retract what I was saying, because my point was going to be that like the commentary didn't really do these guys any favor in terms of making them feel more dangerous than they really have been over the last couple of years.
I see what you're saying. Like when Brock Lesnar came back, they call him the IW. You know, the JBL was just giving him all his accolades. He's just the IWGP champion coming in. Yeah. Well, they did that with Finn Balor too, right? No, with the AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, yep.
They did that with AJ Styles.
They did. So
how come AJ Styles is not in his tournament?
I mean, because he got his Cena rub. I mean, whatever, man. Like,
it should have been a 32-man tournament.
First of all, he's busy being a champion. You know, AJ Lee Dragon is out Styles. There. Is out there cooking. Speaking of AJ Lee. AJ Lee is back in the WWE. And folks, if you feel like this episode is moving at lightning speed, it's because it is. Sancho has to leave. AJ Lee is back in the WWE. AJ Lee is back in the WWE. I thought you were going to keep saying light it up every time I said AJ Lee. I was going to see how. Because you did it three times in a row.
I was like, wait, what's happening? My brain's melting.
Anyways.
Do it again.
AJ Lee is back in the WWE, costing Becky Lynch the Intercontinental Championship. I want to get initial thoughts, all right? Because I do have my own thoughts as well about Becky Lynch losing the Intercontinental Championship. We can talk about AJ Lee in a second, but I want to talk about your thoughts on this match, maybe the overall feud, Maxine Dupri winning the Intercontinental Championship, what you think this means moving forward for the IC title. Sancho, the runway is yours, my friend. Take off.
Here's the thing. I understand why they did this, but they had a better match on the table that they took off by letting Maxine beat Becky for the IC title. I thought if you wanted to keep the momentum going of building up the legacy of this new Intercontinental title, that Becky Lynch was able to propel it to a whole new level after beating Lyra Valkyria, is having AJ Lee beat Becky Lynch. And that would have been like, oh my God, look at all the people who have this title. Becky, AJ Lee, former Divas champion, world champion, all pushing this title higher. With Maxine, I feel like it's going to hit a temporary freeze just because now we have to rebuild Maxine Dupri as this person who is worthy of the IC title. And that takes a while to get the machine behind that notion. Or they could choose it where they cut it off completely and put the belt back on Becky, which is what they're going to do with good old John Cena and Dominic Mysterio. Put the belt back on Dom. But I thought the WWE had a bigger match on the table, more money, a bigger money match than having Maxine beat Becky in Madison Square Garden. I love Maxine Dupri. I feel like that character has much more time in the oven to cook. I want a new music. I wanted her to go solo, then win the title. That way I could be like, okay, this is a new Maxine. I know she wasn't out there with Alpha Academy and things of that sort, but it still feels like it's underbaked. It's not ready yet. And that's how I felt like when she won. I was like, we took a shortcut to the Maxine run. You know, the Maxine run was building. There was a real genuine organic kind of rollover with Maxine Dupri with her wins against Becky Lynch, even though some of them were DQs and count outs, things like that. And then we took that shortcut, and now it's like, oh no, they're going to put the rocket in Maxine, and it's not ready. It's not ready yet for this run. And I feel it's a bummer that we lose AJ versus Becky for the IC title at the end of the day. And adding to the cherry on top, Santi, AJ Lee will be in War Games, just changes the complexity of that match between AJ and Becky even further. It dilutes it. You know what I mean? Like a little dilute, but I'm not complaining. I'm just observing the road that we're on now. You know what I mean? I'm looking on the map and like, wait a minute. There's more rain clouds over here than the sunshine that was on that side. That's all I'm saying.
So I think we echo some of the same things here. I'm not going to just immediately repeat everything that you said, but so let me show just the positives. Let me show the positives of why I think that, this could be a good idea. I think the positive here is it's WWE experimenting with a new name. Great. I always appreciate that. I'm always down for that. Two, hey, I don't ever want to hear Becky Hogan ever again. All right, Becky Lynch just put over a brand new star that isn't the main eventer and tried to create a new gem in WWE. Becky Hogan out the window. And I think the biggest one, Sancho, is that now the Intercontinental title is fair game, right? The door is wide open for anyone and everyone to be able to be a justifiable contender for the Intercontinental Championship. I do feel like when it was like a Becky Lynch holding it, there was a big moat in the middle, preventing like the Ivy Niles of the world from being able to cross. I couldn't think of something else. All right. It got the message across.
Hey, moats work. Think of a moat, my lord. Your old medieval ass wants a moat.
Dude, why do I always go back to medieval stuff, man? Get the siege equipment, me lord. Time to storm the walls, me lord.
Isn't it crazy they used to boil oil and throw it over the wall?
Dude, what a miserable death that would be if somebody poured oil on you. That'd be crazy.
Your armor just melts on your body.
Dude? Yeah, dude, that's what you guys want for me, to oil up? That's the existence that you want?
Not hot oil, no.
But Sancho, I do kind of echo everything that you're saying. I do feel like the bigger match here that I was personally wanting was Becky Lynch versus AJ Lee for the Intercontinental Championship. The lineage of the Intercontinental Championship is a lot better if it's Lyra, Becky, AJ Lee than it is Lyra, Becky, Maxine Dupri. It does feel like it takes a big nosedive, like being realistic here.
I mean, look, it could have gone Lyra, Becky, AJ Lee, Becky, Maxine.
Sure.
The one doing it herself.
Sure.
Having AJ Lee do the strange distraction and then Becky gets overwhelmed and then the splash.
You know that brings me to my other point. This felt like an AJ Lee moment as opposed to a Maxine Dupri moment. Did it not? This didn't fully feel like Maxine Dupri, kind of like what you're saying, it like earning it, you know, doing it all and becoming like a true underdog. It does feel like this was a big championship moment celebration that was sacrificed for the sake of building AJ Lee and Becky Lynch, which does kind of bring down the Intercontinental Championship. Boop! It brings it down below AJ Lee and Becky Lynch, if you ask me. I like just the way that things played out and the fact that now they're the two that are going to be in War Games. There's no mention of what's next for Maxine Dupri, etc. The last bit is like a crossbody. Really? That seems pretty underwhelming in terms of how Maxine Dupri would win that.
It could have been a, stick with me here, walk down here. It could have been a shout out to Jimmy Superfly Snuka because it's at the Garden.
Maybe.
Like, that's the thing. That
doesn't seem like the guy to give shout outs to these days.
I know.
Hey, yo, shout out to OJ Simpson. Like,
No. I'm just saying that's the only, I've ever seen her do that crossbody for the win, but I digress. I mean, I think like whoever produced it in terms of having the celebration happen on the ramp, at least she had pyro, but I totally get it. She should be standing on that turnbuckle making more of her moment without AJ Lee being in that.
Who got interviewed backstage? When right, it was Maxine for 2 seconds and then AJ Lee. This is what I mean,
to set up Rhea Ripley asking her, why don't Rhea ask Maxine to join War Games? Right? That's a champion.
Just won. Who wouldn't you want, like, realistically, the one holding some gold to be part of War Games? So, it does feel like we created a second class within the ultimate result here. But here's the thing, like. This was always inevitable. At the end of the day, like, we were forgetting that it was a first ballot WrestleMania main eventer, Hall of Famer Becky Lynch holding the championship. Inevitably, this thing had to go to the mid-card, right? It couldn't stay up here the whole time. So, like, I also get it. Like, okay, mid-card title, gonna mid-card now. Let's send this down to the mid-card and let it be a mid-card title. My concern is what they've done over on SmackDown. Because when I see mid-card title mid-carding, I see mid-card title catering is what I see over there.
I wonder, like, who's gonna be the one up for this title then?
Ivy Nile? It's like that, like, that's the type of opponent now that I foresee, right? If you're telling us, because this is what this, again, this is my brain, how it's interpreting it. It's telling us Becky Lynch and AJ Lee, that's too big for the IC title picture now. We're removing that. That's going to War Games. We're going to build that on its own. They're too big for the IC title. So, okay, so who isn't? There is, like, Roxanne Perez. There is Raquel Rodriguez. Ivy Nile, I think, is a great option. Maybe a little bit further down the line, like a Nikki Bella. Kyrie, I think. Kyrie's a great option, especially under like the tutelage of like an Asuka. Like, Asuka, hey, Kyrie, you can't see me. She brings some gold into the Kabuki Warriors.
If they're gonna put Lash Legend, I know Lash Legend's on SmackDown, but
sure. We need Lash Legend for the U.S.
We need
some bodies over there.
We need a lot of help over there. Yeah. Dude. I like it. I mean, you're right. I mean, you have to really think about it. It's really hard to establish a new belt. Doesn't have a big to keep your metaphor going runway to take off. Mm-hmm. You got to nail it in the first like few runs. If not, it could end up being like the Ladies United States title where we're like, oh, hopefully things to turn around. I think they need to take the formula they did with Raw's mid cards and do it to SmackDowns. Give it to a headliner, let them pump it up for a bit, then let them drop back to the mid card and keep the party going. You know what I mean?
Yes. Women's War Games, it's looking like it's shaping out.
Can I do this in public? If like a guy comes up and goes, do you want a refill? you think you get it? You think you would get it? Or like,
sir, are you done with the buffet? No, I think I'm gonna go for another succulent Chinese meal.
You gotta sit there. You act like you're gonna act like you're leaving the buffet. Stop. All right, he's leaving. Oh, he's stopping. Wait a minute. Oh, he's going back again for seconds.
For another succulent Chinese meal.
No, babe, I want to leave. You've been here all day. Dude, when it came to that Monday Night Raw and all the Vision came out with Drew and Logan, I'm like, all right, these guys are cool. I mean, Vision came out with Logan, then Drew came out. I'm like, all right, cool, cool, cool. And then when the Faces came out, I was like, oh, God, we're going to be here for a while. These are like some of the longest intros that we have in the business today. Thank God Jimmy came out with his brother. I'm like, yes. All right, cool. We saved 5 minutes here. But I was like, when Jay came out, I was like, oh, hurry up. Because Cody's still on the way.
Actually, interesting point to make that somebody in my chat pointed out. Did you notice that Drew McIntyre got his own entrance, but Logan Paul came out with the Vision?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Is he in the Vision?
He's in the Vision temporarily. He's like,
okay, but why didn't he? But like, so is Drew. But Drew got his own entrance and not Logan Paul. I'm just saying, maybe Logan is part of the Vision. I don't know. He could be. Does that tickle the fancy at all?
No, because I like Logan by himself. And I don't like right now, the worst type of promos that are on there are Paul Heyman's introducing everybody.
Every week. Oh my God.
We know. It is right here. This is a big cast. He's 7 feet tall.
It's right here. This is the tribal thief. Every week. Every week.
But look, I don't think Logan is there. I mean, it'd be great for Logan just to do that because then he could just take a backseat for a little bit. I think Logan has had a lot of responsibilities in carrying his own segments. And he draws a lot of the fire from the internet. Like, these guys. But if he's just like a background player for a little bit, let him be like a stooge and let him just hang around and be and every week. And then people will start saying, oh, Logan's here every week when he doesn't have to do a heavy lift. You know what I mean? It's like we are making content, Santi. All right. Reaction content, low lift. You know, I'm here every time, a low lift. But then when you do bigger lifts, it's just like it requires more responsibility, more time, more things of your responsibility makes you want to do maybe a little bit less. But if Logan could show up on a week-to-week basis and just do a low lift, then people would start saying, oh, all right, he's contributing. He's here. He's here and he's doing – and he didn't do anything special on Monday at Madison Square Garden, did he? No. He just ran out there and just was part of the brawl and that's it. SmackDown, he ran out there and gave the woman's right type of move, you know? Hey,
shout out to the woman's right. Shout out to Lacey Evans. Yeah, very, dude, very clear, right. Very clear homage to Lacey Evans, the woman's right.
Dude, that move was pretty solid.
I think it's been inherited by Lash Legend. That woman's right is forearm. Crazy. The woman's forearm is insane. So let's pivot and talk about men's war games here. So we had the return of Brock Lesnar, who came out there. Dude, he looked unreal. This is where Brock Lesnar belongs, not in the John Cena party. We're having a good time with the John Cena last time is now. I don't need this man crashing the party, but like when he crashed this party, I was like, oh, okay, I can buy into this. Dude, the way he was chucking around CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, some of the biggest suplexes that I've ever seen. Those are both of our champions getting chucked around by Brock Lesnar. And then out comes Roman Reigns, and then we have the big Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar stare down, which, like, if you really want to be picky about it, I do think it kind of puts down our two champions and elevates these two part-timers as opposed to our literal WWE and World Heavyweight Champion, but I digress, because it was still a sick moment. We had Roman Reigns saying, fuck the police, and spear two NYPD officers in spirit Halloween outfits. Did you sell it to them at the Glaze Factory? Because those are the worst NYPD uniforms that I've ever seen in my life. These guys got speared out of existence. And here's
you can tell because the fabric's so cheap,
it's so
right?
Cheap.
It's like polyester, you know what I mean?
It looks so cheap. All right, Sancho. So here's my kind of like initial thoughts on this. Would I like a nice narrative, a cohesive story where, hey, this is why we're teaming up. This is why we're going up against them. It's such a heated rivalry that it requires war games. Would I like all of those things? Yeah, that's the best case scenario. That's when wrestling is at its best. But if you're going to give me an NBA All-Star game, of a War Games match, I'm willing to even put aside my desire for a storyline because, like, dude, the names in this are crazy. And this is with an injured Seth Rollins, too. Imagine if we had Seth Rollins in this. You have both our world champions, Drew McIntyre, the super popular Jey Uso for the kiddos. You've got Roman Reigns. You got Brock Lesnar. It's a who's who of the main event scene out there. Basically, I'm pretty sure that's the entire WrestleMania, like, poker game is out there in this. So maybe you could be onto something when you said this could be, you know, a hint of the WrestleMania main events that are to come. But the only way that I'm willing to be excited over this is because of just how stacked this is and the insane names that are in there. My last thought, Sancho, thank God Cena's not in this. And we'll talk about Cena's War Games plans. This is not the place for Cena. This is absolutely not the place for Cena.
Is this the same place?
It's a shorter podcast, so I say yes. I don't have enough time to roast you.
If you didn't know, AEW had its own blood and guts.
You didn't know?
It had its own blood and guts,
yes.
Which is their version of War Games. And in that blood and guts, they had the women's and then they had the men's. They had the opening and this was all free on TV, by the way. This was not a PLE. This was not a pay-per-view. This was all free.
This is not Survivor Series in San Diego on ESPN.
Oh, John. Gotta get that paycheck, John. That in itself, how can you compete with the WWE, which you said is the all-stars, right? The biggest names in their company competing for the men's side. And then the women's side as well, right? You got a lot of big names over there too. If you look at the names in War at AEW, they're like, you probably have Darby, Moxley, probably the biggest names in that. In that
Storm
fight,
and
right?
Monet for the women.
Right, for the women, right? You don't have like everybody, right? You don't have the Kenny Omegas of that world, right? You don't have the Okadas in that world. You don't have the Will Ospreys who's injured, right? So how can the WWE compete? Because they can't compete with the gore and the violence that Blood and Guts had. Literally, women start off crazy, Crimson Mask, right at the gate. You literally had Darby getting thrown into a fire table in that match. That ain't happening in the WWE, okay? That ain't happening. You don't have people taking bumps off the top like they did in Blood and Guts. That ain't going to happen. So how is the WWE going to compete? And the only way they know how to compete is just to show off, we have the biggest names, all right? I'm not going to see some crazy bumps out of these dudes. There's no way Punk, Roman, Cody are going to risk anything more than what they're going to do the standard. You're going to have Jimmy J, possibly, doing the crazy bumps out of that
If
side.
I'm Jimmy and Jay, I'm like, oh, God, it's going to be us.
Right? It's going to be us. You got to have that JD McDonough spot jumping off the top of the cage to get the RKO from Randy. If you look at the other side here, you're looking at the heels. Logan's going to have to be the guy, right? Maybe not Bronson Reed. I know Bronson Reed's like, nope, I did that last year. Not me this time, right? Braun Breaker, right? There's those opportunities to be there because Brock Lesnar ain't going to do it. Maybe Drew. But this is what's the most interesting kind of juxtaposition in these companies. You have one company going to have to go all out with the actual in-ring performances, and the other one's going to put their names in the ring, and there, that's going to be the carry. That's going to be you tuning in into what's happening in this Survivor Series. What's going to happen to the big names colliding with each other? Is there going to be a follow-up between Roman and CM Punk? We still need to kind of settle that, right? That's all that WrestleMania kind of fever is still probably around. So many questions going forward, and I'm hoping that it does lead to more storylines. I'm hoping that Brock Lesnar does stick around and have a storyline going into Mania that kind of builds up naturally here from this moment. I'm not looking for car crashes this War Games, my friend. My safe place, I am looking for stories to be built here in a nice, organic way, and I want everyone to get out of there healthy. Blood and Guts? Ooh, I was there for a car crash, okay? So these are the differences in the companies, and these are the differences in the audience and the differences in the goals of the match that they had in AEW and the goals in the match they had for this WWE.
If I can actually add to that.
Add to it.
Add to it in a way that's more AEW positive. With AEW,
I was positive about AEW.
I didn't say you were negative. I'm being just positive here regarding AEW's booking. Is that even though the names aren't huge, like because like you said, there were like some like all of the big headliner names weren't there, right? It's not Okada in there, right? You listed all of the names.
In comparison to the WWE, what they're doing. That's what I'm trying to say.
Unlike the WWE, when I looked at all of the storylines that were happening between the women and the men, I did say, oh yeah, blood and guts is the stipulation that makes sense here. With the narrative, they earned the stipulation and it makes sense. Here, I've already made the joke, but I'm making it again. Hey, it's war games. I'm out here war gaming. It's just war games, right? It's war games time. So you just got to do war games. Neither the men nor the women have earned the stipulation, right? Like, but blood and guts, when I looked at the narratives that were being told and the inner riders. Stories, like, mm-hmm. dude, just the Darby and the Moxley stuff that's now been going on for months at this point. This guy descended mm-hmm. from Mount Everest at All In, for God's sake.
Right.
It's earned. The stipulation is earned. War Games is not earned. But WWE is relying on the star power. And what I'm saying is, it's worked because the star power is insane. The star power is actually super nutty, super insane. It's like it's an NBA All-Star. It's not just an NBA All-Star game. It feels like an early 2000s NBA All-Star game. That's what it feels like.
But it feels like like you mentioned, because it wasn't earned, it's like, hey, you want what make this great? Put it in War Games. Mm-hmm. Because that's the way it used to be back in the day, dude. When War Games first created, it was the biggest names of the territory competing in this crazy car crash of a War Games match. Dude, you would go to back in the day, all of a sudden you saw two rings surrounded by a cage. You're like, what are we about to watch? And of course, the biggest names wanted to be in that match, dude. That's how you got paid back in the day, to be in those biggest matches in those territory days. I'm looking at Blood and Guts, dude. They had three matches on that on the television show. And literally each match between the women and the men were basically almost 50 minutes apiece.
That's War Games too, though.
Insane. Yeah. I don't think we're going to go that long here, bro.
I don't think
we go that long in the WWE side of things. I think the WWE realizes that it can't, and like I mentioned, and again, I loved what I saw in AEW Blood and Guts. I think for the WWE, they're going to play a lot more safe. I think they understand that they cannot overcome what they did at Blood and Guts. Blood and Guts went first, and they looked at like, oof, we're not going to be able to do that.
It's not going to work for us, brother.
It's not going to work for us. So we're going to play it safe and just get out with one or two big spots. You know what I mean? Last year, I learned my lesson. I asked for a car crash, and we got it, and it cost us Bronson Reed. I don't want to do that again, all right? No.
It did cost us Bronson Reed. He missed Mania because of that ankle shatter. Yeah.
And it almost cost us Io Sky, dude. Io Sky in that trash can was very scary. And
she's doing it again.
She's going to do it again.
Dude, I wouldn't be surprised if she puts a trash can over her head and her legs. And she's just dual trash cans, akimbo trash cans falling from the top of the cage. She rolls off.
Like a shaker?
Oh, yeah, like a shaker. Yes, like a martini shaker. Shake it, not stir. How do you like your Io Sky?
And the same thing with Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley going into there with a bone, with a nose broken.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. I wonder how she's broken in Japan. She needs to stop doing the Glasgow kiss. Like, it's clear as day that could be the thing that's causing her to break her nose.
I have no idea, but yeah, it is kind of, at this point, maybe like tradition of Rhea Ripley just having a mask for War Games at this point.
I hope she comes out of Cubone again. I made that joke before, but I absolutely love it. Did you see the bump that Powerhouse Hobbs took?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Yeah, man. Blood and Guts was absolutely, like, just insane.
There's moments you're watching through your fingers like, oh, please.
Yeah, dude. I love Blood and Guts because, to me, it's like, oh, yeah, this is, like, not something I'll ever be able to find in WWE. This is my alternative. This is like the big brand is never going to offer this. I have to come here to be able to get something crazy like Blood and Guts. But you know what AEW can't offer? Dominic versus John Cena again. You liked it the first time? Here we go. Another succulent Chinese meal. Let's go. Cena versus Dom, part two at Survivor Series War Games. I have some thoughts on this. Initially, when I heard that there was going to be I guess it would be part three. Yeah, you were right. Yeah, including the six-man tag match.
With my son, Ray. Where Ray Mysterio walked out like a little back bling on John Cena.
Yeah,
we win.
It looked like, dude, that looked like he was his back bling and Sheamus was his pickaxe. Seamus Pickett.
He looked like Yoda on the back of Luke Skywalker.
In Dagobah. Nice. Great in reference. Dagobah, yeah. Dude, you got the sickest references, man.
Like, I'm glad you get them.
I got it. Okay, so when I heard there was going to be a John Cena match at Madison Square Garden, I wanted somebody new. I was like, oh, okay.
Sure, a one-off.
Yeah, another one-off. Another one-off, a new opponent, maybe the
one
Miz.
Night stand.
Sure. Then Dom came out, and I was a little bit disappointed at first. And then
you're a
Dom
hater.
No, stop it. Stop. Don't even gaslight into this again, because you got people believing that, which is crazy to me. Which is so crazy to me.
Evidence is there.
What I was going to say is that as Dom came out there more, and as we learned that it was going to be for Survivor Series War Games, I actually loved this idea. And let me explain. You could have gone with the fan service-y one night match, and I think that would have landed just great. I appreciate in the short amount of time and the short appearances that we have left for John Cena, WWE attempting one final program. Because sure, you could do the single rub, single rub, single rub here, there. But this is WWE putting their chips in on saying, no, 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 we don't want little rub, little rub, little rub. We want the big rub. We want the succulent rub, Sancho. We want to set up Dominic Mysterio to look like a star off the back of the John Cena retirement tour, because Dominic is going to be here, no exaggeration, for the next 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
You could do a one-off match. You could have done The Miz. Sure, that would have been cool for that night. But I think what they're doing here is the healthiest decision for the next 2 decades. And I like it. I think it's the right call. One, it keeps John Cena out of the dangerous environment that is War Games. And I think a lot of people mistook this as me saying that somebody is going to hurt Cena. Like, oh, these guys are going to be so overprotective of Cena. It doesn't matter. Dude, when you have that many bodies in there, all it takes is one person rolling in the wrong direction and Cena getting caught underneath them. That's the danger of War Games. Because obviously everyone in there is a safe worker and they'd be trying to protect the hell out of Cena, who's as good as gold 2 weeks away from his retirement tour. This puts him in a much safer environment. But like I said, again, rather than just doing one-off fan service, we're getting a program that will develop a star for the next 2 decades. And we still got our fan service, Sancho. We still got a moment with Sheamus. We still got a moment with Rey Mysterio. We still got to see JD McDonagh and Finn Balor getting to cross paths with John Cena. That was all cool. We got our fan service in a match that felt like a party. The polar opposite of WrestlePalooza, right? This felt like, hey, we're here to have a good time. We're here to entertain. This felt like a house show, did it not? Like, hey, we're just going to do kooky, wacky shit that usually doesn't appear on TV, like the triple five knuckle shuffle. John Cena eating 3 finishers from the top rope. What the hell? That was crazy. Moonsault, coup de grace, and frog splash. The triple beats of the bottering. You have the
triple
six
pin?
You have the 619 into the bro kick, into the attitude adjustment. It was fun. It was a party. That's our fan service. It got us our moments with some of John Cena's friends and foes of the past while still developing something bigger and greater that will benefit the WWE and fans for decades in Dominic Mysterio. Yes.
Does Dom win, though?
I think it'd be perfectly fine for him to win. Some people are... I kind of want Dom to win, all right? This is where I kind of have to like chuckle at people, right? Some people are like, Cena can't look weak going into his retirement match. It's Cena. What do you mean Cena looking weak? This is the guy that everybody throughout his entire career has said he looks too strong, that he's super Cena. Cena can do no wrong. There is no Cena looking weak going into his retirement match. Cena can lose and it'd be fine. Cena can win and it'll be fine. The result here, any result is fine. I kind of want Dom to win so that Dom gets his big moment, but Dom losing doesn't hurt Dom. It doesn't help Cena. This is a party. This is fun. This is John Cena's last pay-per-view match, his last appearance on San Diego and ESPN. I'm here for the fun. I'm here for the John Cena. I'm here for the zipline. Cena can win or lose and it'll be fine. This notion that Cena's got to look strong going into his final match, brother. That's a thing of that's an old school mentality. This is Cena. He doesn't need to look strong.
Santi, I am sorry, but I'm getting something from above. It is entering my brain. All right, and I can't filter this. I am the one who predicted exactly what was going to go down on SmackDown. I tweeted out over a million views on X. All right, I'm locked in. You want to hear my safe place right here?
Yeah, let's go.
You want to hear it? Rey Mysterio is going to help his son beat John Cena.
Oh, the revenge for Raw 2011. He's just been festering this whole time, angry.
He's going to help his own son. You can't have this San Diego homecoming party for Dominic Mysterio. If you're going to keep John Cena looking strong going into his retirement tour, you need shenanigans. Sure, Judgment Day shenanigans, easy as pie, boring as mess, right? But what about the zest? What's the shock value that Triple H wants, my friend? It's Rey helping out his own son. How long can we keep this narrative of Rey Mysterio not happy for his own son, right? The deadbeat dad thing, right? If they didn't pay it off by having Rey versus Dom in SummerSlam, the most perfect opportunity, the perfect environment for that son versus father match in San Diego for the Mega Campeón and the IC title, why not have his father help out his son?
Sancho, what else do you want? Do you want the Teletubbies to commit a mass shooting? Do you want Barney the dinosaur to rob the Louvre of all of its jewels? Dude, this is Rey Mysterio we're talking about. This is Rey. You want Rey?
I want filthy animal Rey Mysterio to come out, brother, all right?
I love your reaction to the Teletubbies committing a mass shooting. Jesus!
You're going to kill our SE. You're going to kill everything about this episode, the podcast. We have to mute this. Jesus, Santi. And you wonder why our views are tanking? It's not because
our views are tanking.
I'm not on a thumbnail. It's because of you killing our search optimization algorithm with your heinous, filthy, toxic mouth. Talking about succulent meals and people grabbing groins. That's you.
Wait, when did I talk about grabbing groins? I feel like you just threw that in. I don't think I would. Look at the tape. Look at the tape. Oh, man.
Isn't it crazy when the NBA does reviews, they have no idea what to say? The referee's like, yeah, got out of bounds. Home team ball.
Yeah, dude, the other sports have already figured it out. They've got like scripts and stuff. The NBA is just sort of figuring it out. I do like when the NFL refs just like randomly go like just off script. Like he was giving him the business. 15-yard penalty.
You're giving him the business, folks. But again, that's my prediction, and I'm sticking to it. And you what? You come to me for the bold predictions, brother. I am that spicy sauce, you know? You got to use sparingly. But sometimes a broken clock's right twice a day.
I think Rey Mysterio doing this is such a bold choice. What about, because like there's other names out there, right? There's
you
like,
could put Liv Morgan, sure.
That was going to be my first one. Hey, ole, 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 ole. El Grande Americano, maybe. Hijo del Vikingo, maybe they form a Dirty Rascals type of faction.
Ooh.
That'd be kind of fun. I think there's options. Either way, what I'm saying is, Cena win or lose, I'm fine with it. Like I'm here for the fun.
A Juan Cena appearance. Little comes out with the mask. It's Juan Cena.
That'd be cool. I do like the idea of Juan Cena. I would have liked John Cena appearing on this upcoming episode of NXT. Maybe he does. Like a unscheduled surprise, you know, to like get people excited about like the NXT guys appearing in the retirement show.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
to maybe
yeah,
build
yeah.
towards that. That'd be kind of cool. Just something like unannounced. Cause, and the reason I say I'm throwing it out into the universe is because, again, we record this for Patreon and it appears for Patreon on Tuesdays before NXT. If you're listening to this on free feeds, it's on the Friday. So this might not be relevant at all. Tonight's a big NXT show. It's called Gold Rush. And we know that NXT is going to be one half of what's going on at the John Cena retirement show. So like an unscheduled quick John Cena appearance isn't crazy because they're also in Madison Square Garden for NXT in the theater of Madison Square Garden. So Cena's already there, right? So I'll throw that out into the universe. How cool would that be? An unscheduled John Cena appearance.
You said a short little appearance. Can we talk about Jade Cargill quickly with the good old-fashioned squash match?
B-Fab, more like B-fucking-dead.
I don't know if B-Fab was sandbagging Jade or Jade could not get B-Fab up, but those were awkward power bombs. Mm-hmm. But still, I wanted the squash match, and that's what I got. That's what should be. They are AEWing Jade Cargill here. They sure are giving her squash matches, which worked for her initial rise. And I love the combos that she has here. All right. Little power bomb finisher. And then just wrap it up. The chokeslam's nice too.
Sure.
Chokeslam turning around. Hey, I know we're getting near the pot here, but shout outs to BDE, AJ Francis. Oh, yeah. Great match on TNA. Great match.
What great match. Like, dude, BDE is just shocking the world, and he's got a match against another fellow YouTuber in Dank Ops here not that long. I think it's late November where they have their match with Chris Danger versus BDE.
That? That was a cool down payment reversal into the Canadian Destroyer.
Thank you for calling it what it is. All right. I'm sorry, Mexico, but this is not your move. All right. Over the last couple of months, Penta has been doing this illegal move. We're going to start charging tariffs for our destroyers coming out of Canada. You want to use a destroyer? You got to have to pay tariffs. You know how like China charges for the use of like pandas in zoos?
Because they do?
Yeah. I think the only non-Chinese owned panda
San Diego?
I think it's in Mexico. I kind of want to Google that. I think there is one panda on this planet in a public zoo that is not owned by China, and that is a Mexican panda, which I think is hilarious. I think us Canadians need to come together.
Mexican destroyers.
I think we need to come together and we need to nationalize the destroyers. The Canadian destroyer is being bastardized by all of these different countries and being taken away from the original roots of Canada.
That'd be a sick hockey name. The Canadian Destroyers.
Great hockey name. It probably exists.
Dude, Great hockey name.
Oh, yes, eh? Dude, Canada has like the weirdest hockey. Like you'll be like, oh, what are you guys? Oh, we're the Manitoba Moose Knuckles. All right.
The Manitoba Popsicles. Look here. BDE, great guy.
Yes.
Will you ever get in the ring now?
No.
Are you inspired? No.
I'm not inspired at all. I am proud of him, but I can be proud without being inspired to do the craziness. I am perfectly fine speaking from my high horse of a chair with Cheeto dust on my chest, critiquing the thing that I can't do myself, Sancho. That is my destiny.
Was it the apron spot that made you have second guessing? Because that apron spot was nasty, dude.
No, it was when AJ Francis pushed me into the barricade, and I was like, it really fucking hurt. It really hurt when he pushed me into the barricade, bro.
You're like, AJ, can you just like practice with me? No. We're just doing it. I got you. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to shove you really hard. Okay, I got it. I'm ready. I'm a big guy.
Dude, he pushed me into the other dimension, but then you look at the film and he just does it so nonchalantly. That, folks, is like the
5% of his power.
That right there is a former NFL defensive lineman that pushed me and I felt like such.
You're gonna keep glazing AJ. That is a pro wrestler pushing me, and I'm a big guy. I'm a
Sancho,
strong guy.
I think I'd go to your channel and gift you 100 subs if you took that same push from AJ Francis, because I would break in half. I know you would die. I know you would die. Yeah,
my
I know.
Hit the
but
back
like,
of it and
but like 100
like,
subs,
oh,
bro. It's worth it. He's 100 subs.
I'm over here and I'm subbing it over here. All right. Let's go down the list, making sure we got everything. Do you like Ilya's running right now with Axiom? Like, I like it, but they're on the cusp of overcooking it. You know what I mean? They're gonna put something in shenanigan wise, and I'm like,
I appreciate their attempt to create a story within a vehicle that usually doesn't require a story. Open challenges, doing this like narrative with Ciampa and whatever is going on there. With Ciampa just not getting a match, which I think will eventually lead to him finally getting a big match. Maybe even PLE versus Ilya Dragunov. So my quick thought
Survivor
here,
Survivor Series, maybe that'd be.
Yeah, doubt it, but it's packed already. Home. You've already got four matches at Survivor Series. I could see it. Speaking of go home, right? Hey, gentlemen, traditional Survivor Series match, not a Survivor Series, gentlemen. We're gonna have a Royal Rumble match the night before the Royal Rumble, gentlemen. It is time for a WrestleMania main event on the SmackDown before WrestleMania. What are we? Survivor Series match, not on Survivor Series. That's meme worthy. I get it. By the way, I understand, because that's another match that could go on for 30 plus minutes. I don't think you can have that many on the show with the two War Games matches, the one traditional Survivor Series. I just think it's funny that the Survivor Series match doesn't make it onto Survivor Series.
And it's Team Sami Zayn versus MFT.
Gentlemen, I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a fun match.
They didn't catch Ray Phoenix.
That was scary. I'm hoping, if anything, this could be a pilot episode for maybe the return of a traditional Survivor Series match at Survivor Series moving forward. That'd be pretty interesting.
It's going to be Sammy pulling a Dolph, bro, okay?
Dun, dun, da, da,
you,
dun,
are you da, ready da, to see the sole dun, survivor dun, Sami dun, Zayn dun, 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 going against the MFTs?
It's good, dude. He's gonna Nexus them. Yeah, 100%. He's gonna John Cena Nexus them.
You have to remember that one. John Cena lost two members of his team because they turned on him in that one, and he still beat the Nexus.
Dog, he didn't just beat the Nexus. He took a DDT on exposed concrete and then came back and beat them.
The future shot.
Dude, that was a colossal mistake. I did a video. It might be out by the time that this comes out on free feeds. I did a video with the guys from WrestleTalk. Speaking of gentlemen, the gentlemen of WrestleTalk, where we did, we both all brought our best John Cena matches of all time. And then for their Patreon, we did an extra video of the worst John Cena matches of all time.
Where are you going?
What do you mean, where am I going?
You're doing other things?
I'm all over the place.
Did they put you on the thumbnail?
Probably.
Did they put you on the thumbnail? I let you know, Santi. You see this face in this pony, all right? You may not put me on your little thumbnail, but this face right here gets views, all right? 49 million views across all my platforms, and you don't want to put me on your little thumbnail. That's fine. I don't need to be on your thumbnail, because this face is the place in the face that runs everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
The face is the place. That's a good one, man.
That's a face.
That would be a face. That is indeed a place. Did you rehearse that one? This face is the place.
Yes. Sancho Styles.
No, man, I saw the numbers. Your tweets are going crazy. I like that you've taken up on, I don't know how long you've been doing it, but I feel like you've been doing it for a while now, like the live tweeting the show with posting screenshots.
Yeah.
I think that's working for you.
Yeah, it is. I've done that like, I want to say like 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
Just started randomly because it was like, oh, these are little cool little moments, little tableaus.
See, that I think that's something you can do for the PLEs without being...
I think so too.
Yeah, right. That could be like your, hey, let me get the PLE bump of some capacity. You could probably even do it like making Instagram posts of it, like the pictures with the captions. I'm serious, man. With music, because then it becomes a reel and then it enters the algorithm. Just think about it.
Just put Mean on the Table music over from right back.
Every single reel just has feed me more. You know, he'll go into your comments section and be like, feed me more Ryback supplements or whatever he is. He's feed me more supplements.
I literally just saw Ryback in review and he is cooking, dude. He just beat Corporate Kane.
You know, oh yeah, things are getting real hot. Dude, I'm in the prime of the John Cena series. We just posted, for those that don't know, John Cena versus CM Punk Money in the Bank 2011. So we're there, which means the next video is Ray versus John Cena, with Ray getting screwed over. So we're into the good stuff.
It's right there. Who else is there? You think Charlotte joins War Games? I know they're doing the Will They, Won't They.
Oh, I think it's implied that she's in, right? They did like the little, right. They looked at each other and they even had like a little smile or whatever. And Charlotte pointed at them. So I think it's implied that she's in the match without necessarily having to cut the promo, which I think is fine. Which, by the way, I appreciate logic. I pointed this out on Raw when Rhea went out there and said, War Games! I said, like, why the fuck would Charlotte ever want to be on a team with Rhea Ripley and vice versa? And I appreciate them running that story on Friday Night SmackDown. It didn't need to be deep. You know, I wasn't saying like it needed to be multiple weeks long, but I just appreciate the acknowledgement of the past because it makes us feel rewarded for having watched as long as we have. I appreciate when WWE is logical.
Sure. Sure, but you know, Charlotte didn't really execute that really, really
That's
well.
That's fine. But like, I'm just saying, the acknowledgement is enough.
It was like
That's,
this. You know what, Santi? I'm leaving.
It was super random. It was super random. It's like, Charlotte, you could have just not gone out there in the first place.
Your pyro.
Yeah, she would have had a full entrance just to say, nah.
It would have been better if Alexa came out and then like, where's Charlotte?
Yeah.
You know, Charlotte's music hits, the pyro goes off, and no Charlotte. Like, wait a minute. And then they do an interview with Charlotte backstage and go like, hey, why weren't you out there? And she's like, I'm not ready. That's that simple. It's that simple. But did Charlotte look great in her street gear? The kendo stick?
Wait, on Raw? Dude, pull her up. She looked like a reusable grocery bag. I don't know what she was wearing.
Did we talk about Valkyrie taking a kendo stick? I think we did, right?
I think we did. I think we talked last week. I think it is interesting seeing all of these crossovers between streamers and wrestlers. And like, mm-hmm. It might... I think at the end of the day, unless it's a Kai Cenat or...
Kai Cenat with John Cena.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, unless it's a Kai Cenat or a Speed... I don't think any streamer could really put a dent in making wrestling like mainstream. Like Valkyrie is popular among stream culture, but that's about it. Yep. Meanwhile, the Kai Cenats and the Speeds of the world, that those are real global sensations.
They got nominated for Cinebret and Zelina got nominated for Collab of the Year on the Streamer Awards.
That's cool. It's very cool.
A little Aleister Black was there too.
When are we going to be in the Streamer Awards? Sports Streamer of the Year, man. Ridiculous.
First of all, you're going to get that, and then you're going to get like, oh, wrestling's not a sport. You're going to have to deal with that, all right?
Bro, that's
you're
going to have to deal with that. I want to deal with that because it's so easy to overcome those people.
Oh, you want
to
deal with the World of Warcraft guy?
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, dude. Okay. So for those that don't know, Sancho and I dealt with some guy at TwitchCon, this nerd. This World of Warcraft streamer who's trying to tell us that wrestling is lame because it's fake. Meanwhile, this guy has put 700 hours into playing an undead rogue in World of Warcraft. Get out of my life, you loser. Trying to tell me my thing is fake. You live in a fake world. You live in a world where blood elves and night elves are different, apparently. They're elves, bro. Elves be elfing. You have an entire species of pandas in World of Warcraft now. What are you talking about? All right, World of Warcraft. If you are a World of Warcraft streamer, I'm telling you right now, you have zero platform to roast wrestling. You are, by magnitudes of 1,000, a bigger loser than us. And I want you to wear that badge of honor. A bigger loser than us. Remember that.
Somebody came into my chat saying like, isn't wrestling not real? And this isn't like that. And I go, look, man, I'm not going to convince you in this short 5-minute span that you're here for. So no, but you could leave. I'm too tired to have this conversation with you. All right. Speaking of tired, I have to go out the door because I have a flight to catch. It's not because I don't want to be here. I want to be here. But my man's going to Hollywood, brother. First class trip to Hollywood, staying at a fancy hotel, brother. We are head into the limelight, and you could go ahead and not put this face in this LA Dodger loving, World Series champion loving, Dallas Cowboy winning against the Raiders. Meanwhile, you're
against the Raiders
as the Blue Jays losing at your little dumb Chargers losing against the young Jags.
All right, let's move on. Let's get to it.
New heat order. This is the new order, the buzz, the excitement, the things that we look forward to tuning in the most. I want to toss it again to John Cena, right?
Yeah, this guy's on the roll, right? Number one, numero uno.
Number one, John Cena. Any love for Nikki Bella coming out? And
that was weak. That was a really weak segment. I talked about it in the Raw review, patreon.com/SantiZap.
Little promo afterward.
Yeah, but one hit and Stephanie Vaquette is paralyzed for 5 minutes.
The back of the head, Santi.
Whatever,
if
man.
I gave you a little tap on the back of the head, you'd be out for
okay.
a while.
If she had it, I like the promo. I actually said this in the review. I'm like, I like the promo. It needed to be followed up by a vicious attack with chairs, with a kendo stick. Like, just like remind me of the vicious Nikki Bella, not just a hit into the screen and then holding her hair for 5 minutes as you cut a promo in front of her. I needed more violence. I needed a better follow up to the Nikki Bella heel turn. So I actually said that was a weak segment on the Raw review, available exclusively on patreon.com/SantiZap. You want the real number two? The real number two is Maxine Dupri. It is Maxine Dupri. It is.
No, you didn't even say so yourself. That was an AJ Lee moment.
But this is about the buzz, and everyone is talking about
Dolph Ziggler over Matt Cardona over Maxine Dupri.
All right, I'll allow it. I won't. You think I'm really going to put up a fight for Maxine Dupri? Go ahead.
Dolph Ziggler or Matt Cardona?
Dolph Ziggler over Cardona. Sorry, over Ryder.
Cardona, and then Zack Ryder on three?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
I hope our Goose Lesnar guy, who's been doing our stats, has been keeping up.
I hope he's all right. Well, speaking of probably Lesnar and Roman and then Maxine.
Okay. I put Matt Cardona. I'm sorry. It's Zack Ryder. I'm not going to rewrite it. Lesnar over Roman? I think Lesnar suplexes put him over Roman.
I would put Lesnar over Roman, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Even though you had the sleeve Dak Prescott looking Roman Reigns, you know what I mean? The one-arm Dak Prescott slinging 4 touchdowns on Monday night. Number 5, Roman Reigns. I had to get it all in. You thought you could run away. Number 6, Maxine Dupri.
Yep.
Where do we put Max Dupri?
I don't think he's on the list, brother.
You just made the list.
We could look at
Javon Evans, number 7.
Oh, I like that. Gunther? I like both Gunther and Javon Evans here. Great match.
Okay, let's put Gunther.
Gunther.
And then I'll put Javon.
Stacked week.
Yeah, it's hard. Okay. I'll take a look at. I put down all the results. I guess we could put AJ Lee if you're interested because he's joining War Games.
Honestly, I'd put I put Becky Lynch over AJ Lee right now.
Okay. We don't know what Becky Lynch is gonna do. Any love for LA Knight advancing?
No.
Any love for Solo Sikoa advancing?
No.
Any love for Jey Uso advancing?
No.
Any love for Drew McIntyre joining the Vision? That happened on SmackDown.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre. Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct. That puts us at what, number 9?
No, that puts us at 10, my friend. Here it is. Okay. The list, number 10, Drew Mac, number 9, Becky Lynch, number 8, Javon Evans, number 7, Gunther, number 9, Maxine Dupri, number 5, Roman Reigns, number 4, Lesnar, number 3, Matt Cardona, number 2, Dolph Ziggler, number 1,
John Cena.
All right, Sancho, you can leave. Say your goodbyes. I will do the Patreon $15 because I know you got to go. He's kissing you guys, just to clarify what that sound
every
is.
Every single one of your $15 Patreon. It's so many kisses.
All right,
really buddy. Well, Santi. Don't mess up the upload. I wouldn't be mad at you if you do.
I'll upload it. Okay, goodbye. All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching this episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. As extra special bonus, thank you goes out to our $15 patrons. They are our producers of the show. And of course, as such, get their names read out loud. And of course, Sancho is frozen, but he is gone. So a special thank you goes out to Chargers or Poses and Frauds, 10-Minute NXT Convo or Sancho on Thumbnails Challenge, Active D4C, Aiden S, Abreem Zuda, Alex Regal, Alex, Alfie the Chosen One, Alfie Walfi, American Nightmare, Cody Lander, Antonio Arjona, Antoni, Ariel Pacheco, Arrogance, Ashley Rennell, Aussie Kingslayer, B-Fab, more like B crushed into tiny bits, Bailey Saunders, Beans, B-Hostile, Bing Bong Wepa, Blenda, Black Lesnar, Blue Cord, Bluefish, Boy Mal, Bradley, Brad Primo, Brady Keaton, Brody Cyphers, Brian Gallardo, Caleb Parker, Cameron Warren, Cameron Talks WWE, Cameron Whittle, Carlos Gonzalez, CB, Chimchar Collectibles, Chocolate Santi, and the Sanch Dog Flavored Water, Chris Butner Lucas, Christian Anderson, Christian, Chucky Gonzalez, Clay, Colby Mayo, Cool Whip Tim, Corey King, Dalton Dunbar, Dan Schubert, Demon Child, Derek Barnhart, Digi, D. Lopez, Dominic DeCoco, perfect. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimsdale Dimmadome. Dylan Eggtoast, El Hijo del Dr. Jelly Roll Jr., El Juan de Americano, El Joshi, Enrique El Bello, Eric Ruiz Romero, Aaron Thorne, Ethan Dominguez, Ethan Herwa, Isaac, Bolts are dead, but AJ returned, so it's okay. Five Knuckle RKO, Fletcher Walpool, FMF CMA, Forget the Hyphen Between Latina and Bull, Freezer, Fugnux, Gabriel Mesa, Garrett Woods, Gilbert Deans, Governor, GXA Man, Heath Robertson, Hey Shakes, I'm Rick James, bitch, Ian McNugget, I'm Braun Strowman, Imposter Sancho, Issa says Santi is paying for my WrestleMania 42 tickets. It's Mista, it's Astro Kid, Jack Gibley, Jack Harris, Jackson Parrish, Jacob Mueller, Jacob Saffel, Jake Shavoya, Jared Hernandez, Jason Flint, Jason Vane, Javier Rodriguez, Jax Teller, J.S. Cal, Javion McDuffie, J.C. Worley, Jelly Goose Lesnar Roll, Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll Shooting Star Press on the Blue Jays, Jeremiah Finley, Jeremiah Kelly, Jahihi Ahihi, Joe Velez, Joey Romig, Jonathan Cox, Johnny Moore, Johnny Owens, Jordan Lynch, Joshua Kane, Juan Vega, Juliana Sarfi, Justin Brooks, Justin Perkins, Caleb Martin, Karrion Kross, Ask Me ESPN Plus or Dinner with Jay-Z, Kevin Vega, Kuwaiti Rick Boogs, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Liam Lil Shifu, Lachlan, look, it's Pac-Man, Wepa Wepa Wepa, Luis Jimenez, Majed, Mark, Marnie YCSM, Matthew Watkins, Mossy, Makai, Meredith Lee, Michael Paz, Michael III, Michael Tervino, Michael Vera, Miguel Paredes, Minoru Suzuki is goated, Mitchell X, Muhammad H. Ahmed, Muhammad Al-Banai, Nathan Tully, Nicholas Kyle, Nick Bushkies, Nihilus, NyQuil Pad, Noah, Noah Booth, Nomad, Oba Femi for US Champ, not IC Champ, Obi Nobi, Oil, Oil Up Now, Santi 69, OJ the DM, Oscar Ruiz, Papa Bear 26, Pat R, Pat McMark, Frody, Prince Vegeta, Puppets Banker Johnson, Put Sancho in the Thumbnail or Else, Reaper God 45, Rick Mar 1R, Ricky Dutcher, Royce Ruffo, Ruben Sanchez, Ryan Spradley, Riley, Sadie Brink, Salguero, Sancho doesn't get a safe space or thumbnail. Sancho is Cook Fam 6767 6767 6767. Wepa Bing Bong. Santi eats Sancho the long way. Santi fat black old bitch. Santi custom games. Santi's tribal chief Gibby Fresh. Sauce God. Saudi Rick Boogs. Savage Field. Scott Linden. Semba. Shaggy WWE. Shane Shitstain Nakamura. Sir Nightmare. Slime Manny 00. Super Malachi Galaxy. The Vanilla Joe Rilla, the LA Knight Mega Glazer, Jacob Kufis, the Final Boss Bloodline Rules, Theo Perdios, Tim Higgins, Toasty Says, the Wyatt's Killed, SmackDown Tag Team Division, Tobias Burnett, Tom Lehman, Tom Cerati, Trent Head, Trevor Harder, Tycho, Tyler Logan, Unknown Zero, Vacant Going Over LA Knight, Vegan Penguin, Venom, Verzo, Voidzy, Juan Pablo III, White Mexican, Liam Newton, Zach Smira, YM Cab, Yo Girl Side, Zach Griffin, Zach Ryder in 2013 equals LA Knight in 2025, Zacurious Cox, Z2K needs Santi to oil up, Zeke loves Zergzito, and Lord BBNJ. Thank you all for supporting the Wrestling is Cool podcast the way that you do. Thank you very much. We appreciate you being obviously great supporters and backers of the show. So thank you. You guys take care. Be wonderful people.
Ring the bell. Goodbye. That does it for this episode of Wrestling Is Cool. Shout out to Sazi and Sancho. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. My name is Mega Ran. I'm just here for the vibes. And never, ever forget that wrestling is cool. Peace.